Miami Thursday morning, everybody. Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. That's 2023, not 22. I got it, Ellie. 2023. It's Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast, brought to you by the Snoot Factory, www.thesnootfactory.com. Tom Drake here, otherwise known as the Guru of the Seas. On board the beautiful Oceana Serena, we have arrived in Curacao. And Curacao is in the Dutch islands of A, B, and C. Dutch run. Very nice. Very nice. They've done a great job here with new infrastructure. When you arrive, a beautiful pier, you walk off the ship, and you're right there. Unlike Cartagena and Panama City, or that mess yesterday in Aruba, where we got off and went into a terminal that hasn't been used since World War II, with one guy giving us a look like, why are you here? We got the lousy terminal because Royal Caribbean's monster mother, the Odyssey of the Seas, the one where you hang off the side of the ship in a glass ball. What is that about? They had the terminal with the Wi-Fi, the terminal with the shops and everything in it, and we had nothing. And that, I don't know if that's a reflection on the cruise line that pays my salary, but it's certainly a reflection on Aruba. If you want to have more than one ship in port, clean that terminal up and fix the damn thing. I personally, Aruba's gone to hell in a handbasket anyway. It used to be a vibrant, wonderful place. It's okay now. I'm talking about downtown. I'm sure if you get out on one of the timeshares out on the beaches, it's still beautiful, but downtown is shaky at best. Curacao, it's totally different. You get off the ship now, that used to be shaky at best. Now you get off the ship and you walk into the fort. In the fort, there are restaurants, coffee shops, tchotchke shops, music. It's vibrant. Then through the fort, you walk into town over the movable bridge that they've always had into downtown. Downtown's still downtown Curacao, but they've really done a good job here compared to our friends at Aruba. Yeah, thanks for sticking it to us yesterday. Today is Groundhog Day in the United States. It's a big deal, you know. It is for some people that have an old life. They have a banquet yesterday. Had a groundhog banquet, whether they serve that. And today, Punxsutawney Phil will tell us whether there'll be six more weeks of winter, and I don't care because I don't go anywhere near those parts of the world. What are you, crazy? Who lives there? I don't know if this is a funny story, but this is a true story. A few years back, a mine collapsed in Chile. That's funny. No, they all got rescued. I couldn't tell the story otherwise. I know the rules of comedy. The guru knows what you can do and can't do within reason. Anyway, all these miners were trapped down in the mine for a couple of months. And every day, the wives of the miners would come and kneel and pray, because prayer is important. Pray for their husband's safety. Pray for him to be rescued. Well, one day a lady's down on her knees, so to speak, praying, and she meets, she has said to the lady next to her, is your husband down there? No, my boyfriend's down there. Turned out the boyfriend was her husband. The guy's mistress. What are the odds? He's down there gasping for air, and the two women are up there going, you son of a... So he's trying to hatch a plan to get out of the hole. They're up there putting together a plan to stick his ass right back down again. And he became the Punxsutawney Phil of Chile. See, it all ties together. He became the Punxsutawney Phil of Chile, because when they finally pulled him out of the hole, he saw his wife and his mistress and went, oh, there's six more weeks of winter. I'm going back down to the hole. Roll the music. We do have music today. We are missing the duck. We are missing the siren. We are missing a couple of other things. They're gone. They're in cyberspace somewhere, and I shall attempt to bring them back today because I still have internet issues and I'm in Curacao, as I mentioned, so I'm going to go get a local SIM card and see if I can't rebuild the rest of the empire. But in the meantime, we do have music, at least, and let's get to it. This is a story that probably means nothing to anybody, but Harding Brothers, they have boutiques, the boutiques on ships. They're on 107 cruise ships, and none of their, I don't know what about other places, but here, they don't have logo wear anywhere in their stores. It drives me crazy. I call them the logoless boutique, because people get on board. They don't want to buy Bulgari. They can buy that on land. They can buy cosmetics on land. They want to buy something that says Oceana Serena or Oceana or, you know, Your Serena, Your Way. Nah, they got squat up there. Anyway, they also were the boutique for Virgin Voyages. Don't say cruises. Virgin Voyages. And now they're parting ways. They're parting ways. I guess they were charging too much for the batteries. They're bailing out. And they said it was, they bragged about what they brought. They brought brands like Bulgari, MAC Cosmetics, who cares? So they split up and someone else is coming in, Starboard Cruise Services. So I don't know what happened there, because these guys are giants in the business, 107 ships with their boutiques, but not with Richard Branson. So maybe they didn't want to sell sex toys. I don't know. I don't do enough research to know one way or the other. I'd rather just spread rumors. That's what I do. Biofoul. I haven't talked about Biofoul in a while. Oh, you want to hear something? The people that listen to this podcast, they're a bit sick. I mean, yesterday I announced it was a naked podcast because I didn't have any equipment to provide music or sound effects or anything. So it was a naked podcast. So, and I kind of hinted that I might possibly not have clothes on when I was doing it. And I get two emails, tweets going, hey, I just want to know, thinking about you doing that without clothes on, the word biofoul comes to mind. I won't tell you whether or not I had clothes on. I will tell you my stewardess shouldn't have opened the door without knocking. But let's move on. P&O Australia has announced that the Pacific Adventure will have a different adventure. They were supposed to leave tomorrow for New Zealand, and they're going to be delayed. They're going to leave, but then have to go ashore, out there, and have their hull cleaned. It turns out they failed the biofoul inspection. Paul Haggart and his biofoul bozos. I think at ship number 9, P&O was shocked because they just had it checked like 3 months ago and it was fine. And in 3 months, some of those pesky pests. Say that three times fast when you got a hangover. Pesky pests have attached themselves to the hull. Now, meanwhile, in New Zealand, they're building an ark. It hasn't stopped raining in a week. It's pouring down rain, but watch out for the bugs on the side of that hull, baby, because they might be the reason it's raining. So ship number 9, the Pacific Adventure. I doubt anybody that listens to this soon-to-be award-winning podcast is on that ship, but if you are, you're not going where they said you were going to go, but that's nothing new in the cruise industry. Carnival Cruise Line. I like talking about Carnival. You know I'm a fan of Christine Duffy. I love the fact that every time I'm on LinkedIn, are you on LinkedIn? I love going there. It's all business-related stuff, people making money, getting paid for it, unlike me. She's on every day. She's somewhere in the engine room. She's in the galley. She's with guests. She's unbelievable. And I think this is part of her doing, too. They've announced the Carnival Glory between March and April next year, 2024, will go out of service for 30 days for dry dock. Now, that does impact sailings for people. I like that word, huh? How are you doing today? Not good. My sailing's been impacted. Yeah, and my tooth, too. I have an impacted tooth and an impacted cruise. So they're canceling those cruises, giving money back and a cookie and whatever. But I'm looking at a 30-day dry dock. I've been doing this a long time. They're doing a lot of work to it. I mean, either that, mechanically, it hasn't been worked on in a while. But they're bringing it in and 30 days, and they're probably going to make some structural changes. You know what I think about this, right? They want to change their demographic. They're probably going to be less sophomoric and juvenile in some of their decor, you know. When it gets done, it'll be doing 3-day, 4-day out of Port Canaveral. So they might be just bringing in more fire hoses to clean the room. Because you do a 3-day on Carnival. In fact, it says at the bottom of the press release, Carnival Glory weighs in at 110,000 gross tons. I know. It's wrong. It's wrong for me to think, you know, Carnival and gross in the same sentence. I shouldn't think that because they're changing the way they do business. They're changing their demographic and they're changing their look. They're actually reducing. You now have to tell them how many tattoos you have. You can't have more. All right, I'm making that stuff up. But if you're on the Carnival Glory next March and April, contact your travel planner because you might be impacted. And take some Tylenol and call me in the morning. Holland America. I like to have fun at Holland America. It's a good product. It really is. We're not friends right now, but it could change. They did a good thing last year. They started raising money for the Ukraine, and they announced that they raised in 1 month their guests and their team members raised $450,000, which is almost $500,000. That would be the headline if I'm writing it. Why be honest? Almost $500,000. They raised $450,000 for Ukrainian relief by doing 5K walks. Everybody on board would sign up for a 5K walk, they would, you know, pay $25 and they would be part of the 5K walk, and the money is going to Ukrainian relief. And also Mickey Aronson, son of Ted Aronson, who started Carnival, and Mickey built it into the juggernaut that it is now. His foundation, he has a foundation, donated $3 million. $3 million to Ukrainian relief. Thank you, Mickey. He owns the Miami Heat. He can afford it. But I think it's a great deal. Absolutely great deal. Now I saw this. And by the way, we're staying under 15 minutes today. The guru is committed to tightening it up. I know you people have nothing else to do anyway, but I just feel bad. We're not going past 15. That's it. I saw this article in Travel Weekly, and the only reason I looked at it twice is because it says Barry Sternlicht's Starwood Capital Group, and I saw the name Sternlicht, and you know, Stern, that's a ship thing, and this is a cruise and travel news podcast, you know, and Sternlicht, actually, you know, stern is a, what's at the front of the ship, isn't it? A bow and a stern somewhere, and a Sternlicht sounds like something you do when you want to clean the hull down there in New Zealand. Yeah, catch the, yeah, give that Sternlicht, because you got some stuff hanging there, look at it, something new. Anyway, his company, Starwood Capital Group, is embracing, this is their words in the press release, embracing the great outdoors. How the hell do you embrace the great outdoors? What do you, hug a tree? Embrace the great outdoors with the launch of its latest hospitality brand, Field and Stream Lodge Company. I've said this in a previous podcast. We don't need these goofy-ass places. We need hotels that have nice mattresses and nice pillows. Get them with the pillow guy. People are friendly at the front desk, and a restaurant that serves good food, and everybody smiles, and there's no bugs, and the air conditioning works. That works for me. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I like staying at five-star hotels. I do. There is a difference. But I'll just give you a nice, you know, a nice intercontinental, nice Holiday and whatever. Certainly a Courtyard by Marriott, but give me more than a Courtyard. Give me a room with air conditioning and people know what they're doing. Anyway, Field and Stream Lodge. They own the name, and they're finally going to launch the Field and Stream Lodge Company. And in the press release, I thought this, this, you know, I studied business in college a long time ago, and I'm always impressed when, you know, when people understand what they're doing. And they said, when they launch the Field and Stream Lodge Company, they will specifically target destinations where existing lodging options are lacking or outdated. Why didn't I think of that? You know? Oh, yeah. Although, honestly, everybody, have you noticed, they build a hotel where everybody else has a hotel. Once one company puts up one, there's another, then there's another. All over the state of Florida, when you're driving down 95, you'll see them all in little groups, all in the same 8-10 acres, might owned by the same guy named Irving. Anyway, they're going to find places where existing lodging options are lacking or outdated, which translates to English, hey, we're going to go where there's no friggin' hotel. And hopefully near a field or a stream, wouldn't you think? I mean, you want to go into the woods with these things. You want to sell these things as, you know, you're going to go there for a few days. You know, like my buddy Scott, and I have friends, my friend Scott. He's involved with the cabins in Georgia where you can go stay in a cabin. He loves that. He just sits in the back deck there and listens to the stream gurgling and, you know, whatever. You know, I sit out by my pool, listen to my stomach gurgle. It's a different thing. We'll see what happens. They haven't built any yet. They just had an announcement. But I just like the name Sternlicht. But keep an eye out for it. Field and Stream Lodge Company. And they might be building one right near you, provided you live somewhere where there's not existing lodging options. I'm trying to be nice today. I'm trying to be nice. Boeing, you know, remember Boeing? You know, they have that aircraft company that lies all the time. The people that said, you know, 737 MAX, there's nothing wrong with it. It crashed a couple times, killed a few people, so what? They delivered their final 747 yesterday. See, the 747 is a dinosaur. It's not fuel efficient, and of course, we're trying to save the planet by Tuesday. So the last 747 went to, not to a passenger airline, to Atlas Air, a cargo airline, and it is the 1,574th Boeing 747. Wouldn't you think they'd end on like 1575, you know, or go for 1600, you know, drop the price. 53 years they produced the 747. Of course, Air Force One, if you've never seen that fly in and land, that is one gorgeous airline. The 747 is just majestic. It is so unbelievably impressive, but it's not fuel efficient. And in today's save the planet by Tuesday, it doesn't fit. They're still flying them in overseas in Europe. We don't, there isn't an American carrier. In fact, the CEO of the Lufthansa Group, Carsten Spohr, he flew in Monday to Frankfurt, from Frankfurt to San Francisco on a 747. And he said, just like I did many years ago when he first came to the U.S., he said, I fell in love with the 747 on that first trip, just as he fell in love with the U.S. Eh, it's better food than Germany. My apologies to Christine. He said that a 747 represents what this country is about. He's talking about the United States. Pride, strength, engineering. And my love is continued to this day. He's right. Come on, you know we do it well when we want to do it well. Nobody does it better. You know, ask the Chinese. They steal everything we do. Is that xenophobic? Will I get sued for that? Let's hope so. I need some publicity. There was a guy, and they had a party. You know, it was the last 747, so they threw a party. You know, why not? They should have waited until it took off, made sure it flew. But a former vice president of product strategy and development at Boeing. Now, that's his name back then. It would probably be much bigger now. He talked of how the 747 reshaped commercial aviation, because you can't just change it. You know, it's marketing, got to reshape it. He said all of a sudden people could travel in incredibly roomy airplane that gave them the impression of the living room taking off. So what are we doing now? We're flying single aisle planes across the Atlantic. JetBlue is trying to peddle the A321 stretcher mother. Come on, who want to fly across the pond? You want a big ass plane like the 747 or the A350 whatever it is, but you don't want a JetBlue. Stop it. They're trying to, and people don't even realize, I've talked about this in the past, when you book a flight, don't fall in love with JetBlue just because they said, oh, they have a mint suite in the front. It's a little single aisle airplane. No, 747. You know when the Prime Minister of Great Britain comes to the United States, he doesn't have his own plane. You know, our president has his own 747, which he flies every day to his beach house. Outside, never mind, let's not go there. But they fly a 777, two engines. There's nothing like a 747. Virgin Atlantic founder Richard Branson, he bid farewell to a wonderful beast. That's what he called it. And, you know, of course, I think of Virgin Voyages and the words wonderful beast. That would be the couple last night. The security had to stop him three times. Keep the noise down. But he founded I did not know this. He founded Virgin Atlantic in 1984 with one secondhand 747 that was christened the Maiden Voyager. And he said 747 gave America and Boeing the leadership role in aviation, which we have now given up. Airbus is kicking their butt, to be honest with you. I lied. We're at 16 minutes. All right. It's a Thursday. I appreciate putting up with the Naked Podcast yesterday. This one should sound better as it goes into post-production. I get to work on it. And I will talk to you tomorrow. I believe we're at sea tomorrow on our way to Port Antonio, Jamaica. Let's not go there. Have a good Thursday. Talk to you tomorrow.